It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. We'll talk a little bit about the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, but we're all going to also talk during the time we have left today about our prayer life and how's that going for you? Alive and vibrant, or maybe dull and dry? Prayer is our one-on-one connection to God, and maybe like any relationship, we have good days, and then we have those nasty, not-so-good days. So where do you struggle in your prayer life? Where do you have the most problems in living a life of prayer? And we're going to talk about that today. Here to help us on the journey, our spiritual director, and joining us for the first time as one of our spiritual directors, a pleasure to have Father Peter Cameron with us. Father Peter is a Dominican priest and founding editor of the Magnificat. He is a theologian, spiritual director, founder, and artistic director of Blackfriars Repertory Theater in New York City, a prolific writer, author of 10 books on spirituality and preaching. Father Peter Cameron, a pleasure to have you on the program today. Welcome.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a great joy to be with you and with your listeners.
And looking forward to our conversation as we talk about prayer. And as we do every day, we'll wait till the bottom of the hour, get by a few little business things, and then get our phone lines open for all of you in our listening audience. So we'd love to hear from you today as you talk about your prayer life. What's your biggest struggle? And what problems do you face in your prayer life? We'd love to hear all about that. We'll get into that. But Father Peter Cameron, we just continuing coverage here on Relevant Radio of the 16th Annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and any comments on what you heard? I have a couple of things, but what was your reaction to that?
I was very moved by, I would say, three things. I mean, first, I'm a great fan of soon-to-be-blessed Father Michael McGivney, and I was very moved by the video about his life and the fact that after laboring so intensely as a young man, as a very devoted, newly ordained priest, that he succumbed to sickness and death, and it was really because of a pandemic, and that he continued to just labor so earnestly and so selflessly despite this disease that was raging through the society at the time, and that he really stands as a kind of a prophet for these days and showing us the kind of courage that we have to have and the certainty about God and the conviction to live by our faith. That's just what I found very powerful through that. And then Mr. Barr's incredibly articulate speech showing how religion is right at the core of everything that has to do with America and what brought America into being, that there is, as he said, no division between religion and civics, that the founding fathers, everything that determined how they made decisions began from their conviction about how God is at the center of it all. And then very beautifully how Bishop Barron was able to speak about the outstanding role of both President Jefferson and Saint Junipero Serra, and really bringing the genius of Americanism to people by showing them how God is at the core of everything that we hold dear and as ideal as Americans.
Yeah, and I was taken with Bishop Barron as well when he talked about the tendency today, and it's so true, is to privatize religion. It's tough being Catholic. It's tough being Christian. But he said, you know, this is the time. This is the time to bring our faith into the public arena, and whoever we are, wherever we are, to be great at it. And I think that's such a challenge for all of us these days, isn't it?
It certainly is, because the common mentality is not a Catholic mentality. And so when we step forward, we're going to have all kinds of people who are against us. But the reality is that what convicts us in our hearts is the very same thing that every other human heart needs as well. And so the people that oppose us are simply unaware of something that their heart is made for. And so when they're being so opposed to the God that we live for, we have to realize it's because they're not aware of some aspect of their own humanity that has to come alive. And we can make that come alive through our charity and through our graciousness and through our forgiveness, but also through the resiliency with which we live according to the truths that we know to be inalienable.
Yeah, and then back to your comments about Father McGivney, the courage that he had to live his faith while he was, near the end of his life. I mean, that's the call to all of us, especially in these tumultuous times, to be courageous and to live our faith and be great at it, too.
It really is so, and we don't, I think, at times reflect on just how much Catholics were hated in Father McGivney's days. I mean, the convents of sisters would be set on fire. The parish rectories would actually be bombed. Catholics were barred from joining many of the new fraternal organizations that sprang up because he lived in the time of the Industrial Revolution. And so tens of thousands of men would leave their families to come to work in cities like New Haven, where his family they lived in Waterbury, so it's just in the environs. But in the space of just a few years, tens of thousands of these men came to live and work in these factories. And after the day of work, they had nothing to do. There's no television, et cetera. So these fraternal organizations were formed, but Catholics were barred from them. And and they were kind of essential in order to get ahead in society. So they were kind of blackmailed, Catholics, because in order to join these, they would have to renounce their own faith. And that's one of the reasons why Father McGivney was so certain that what was needed was a similar sort of a fraternal organization, but for Catholics, that would give them a way of belonging. And at the same time, as the video makes so clear, to protect and to preserve these families when the breadwinners, the fathers, the husbands, were either injured or actually lost their lives working in these very dangerous places.
Father Peter Cameron, our spiritual director, we're going to talk about prayer after we pause for a moment. If you'd like to join us, how's your prayer life going? Toll free if you'd like to be on the program, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Day 16, Mother of our Creator, pray for us. In the 24th chapter of the book of Sirach, we read, "He who created me has deigned to dwell in my womb." We all know that Mary is the mother of Jesus and that Jesus is God, so Mary is properly called the Mother of God. But if God is a Trinity, and the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier, how can we call Mary the mother of our Creator? Wouldn't that be like calling her mother of the Father? Not exactly, but you have to know a little bit about the theology of the Trinity to understand this. And that is, the Trinity is one, and the actions of one are the actions of all. This is certainly a mystery, but nonetheless true. It's good to have connections in high places, and what better connection can you have than with the mother of our Creator? Mother of our Creator, pray for the church and our nation.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And just a reminder that our Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. More information about employment opportunities to become one of their insurance agents and information also about their flexible premium life insurance plans, all available at relevantradio.com/Forrester. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz, Jim Schaefer, answering your phone calls today, and our spiritual director, Father Peter Cameron. Father Peter is a Dominican priest, founding editor of the Magnificat, joining us for the first time as one of our spiritual directors on The Inner Life. Father Peter, let me just say, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Oh, it's a great joy to be with you, Chuck. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and we're talking about our prayer life, and phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. Your prayer life, how's it going for you? We're going to be talking about struggles and problems. What is your biggest struggle, and what problems do you face in your prayer life? Again, if you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. You can email us to innerlife@relevantradio.com. So, Father Peter, get us started. I want to get into some of the struggles and issues like that, but just give us an overview. Prayer. What is it? Is there a goal to our prayer?
Well, prayer is a response, and it's a response to a longing that we have in our heart. We know that we're made for something that goes beyond anything finite, anything beyond the world. You just think about how much the things that we love and that we enjoy, we want them, and we want them without any sort of limit. And that makes us aware of the fact that there is someone who's leading us to this boundless joy and happiness, and that just makes us want to talk to that person, to dialogue, to communicate with that one who's put this longing, this yearning in our heart. And so that's really, in essence, what prayer is. It's responding to this certainty that we have in our heart that we're made for something beyond this world, beyond anything that we can see or touch, and that we, if we can connect with it in some way, that we're going to be happy. And that's a large part of what of prayer is all about, is the perfection that we are destined for, which is identical with happiness and holiness. The more we pray, the more we can bring about that perfection of charity, which is the definition of a saint.
Yeah, and I'm curious, too, do we all pray, even if we don't, quote-unquote, believe? Do all of us, because of our human nature, do all of us in some way or another pray, even though we may not know it?
Well, I live in New York City, and I lived about 25 miles away from the World Trade Centers on 9/11/2001. Mm. And so I could actually, see the smoke rising from that place of such utter destruction and desolation. And within hours, the churches in New York City were filled. So there's some impulse that, yes, is identical with what it means to be human. And it doesn't have to be taught that when we're in trouble, we cry out. I mean, I think one of the most perfect prayers, and I learned this from my friend who's now deceased, the great theologian Monsignor Lorenzo Albacete. He says, think about people that suffer, that very often they voice a question, and the question is, why me? And he says, this is a wonderful question, because it poses another question, and that is, who are they talking to? He says, and so when people that suffer, they feel this terrible injustice, but it prompts them to cry out to something beyond themselves. And so prayer does happen in us, even though we might not profess to believe in God, or we might not think ourselves to be spiritual people.
Father Peter Cameron is our spiritual director, joining us for the first time as one of our spiritual directors on The Inner Life. Father Peter, a Dominican priest and founding editor of the Magnificat, theologian, spiritual director, and author of 10 books on spirituality and preaching, talking today about our prayer life. And phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. It's a toll-free phone number, 888-914-9149. How's your prayer life, and where do you struggle the most? We're here to talk about that with you. If you want to join us again, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Real quick, just want to mention, I know you don't want to hear this, but 93 days left until Christmas. Don't worry, we're not ignoring Halloween or All Saints Days. We want you to have a wonderful Thanksgiving, but we are giving away nativity sets to 200 lucky listeners, and we want to make sure you have yours and plenty of time to display it outside your home all through the Advent and Christmas seasons. So all you have to do to enter is go to the website, relevantradio.com/nativity, and you can enter to win this nativity set. It's valued, by the way, at more than $500. You have to do all of this before October 2nd. And this is a great way to say Merry Christmas to your entire neighborhood with your own beautiful hand-painted nativity set in front of your home. And, you know, really, together we can impact our communities this Advent, making room for Christ inside our hearts and outside our homes. So sign up right now to win, relevantradio.com/nativity. So, Father Peter Cameron, as we talk about our prayer life and struggles, I wonder sometimes, I want to let you get into some of the biggest struggles that we face, but I wonder sometimes if we think that we're struggling. It's dry, it's dull, it's just not what we want it to be, that we might think we are doing it wrong.
Well, it certainly is possible to do it wrong, but we're probably the worst judges of prayer than there can be, because as long as we have an inclination to pray, we're praying. So many of the great saints say just the desire to love God is proof that God's love, that we are loving God, and that God's love is taking hold of us. Now, do we want to? Is it a virtuous thing to learn how to pray well and to pray better? Because, for example, in the letter to James, the sacred writer says that we don't receive what we were asking for because we don't pray well. So, yes, there's a kind of a purity that we need in our prayer. That is to say, our desire is true, that we're really, our first impulse is to love God and to be open to doing God's will, whatever form that may take, even if it means we have to suffer or we have to be deprived of some good thing that we want, but it's not the thing that's going to really make us the saint that we're destined to be. And so we allow God to form us and to mold us according to his plan and not our preconceptions. Yes, all of these things, when we surrender to them, makes our prayer more perfect, makes it purer, and therefore unites us ever more deeply with God. And that is really sort of one of the key goals of prayer, is to have that intimacy, a union with God.
Talk about some of the distractions. I'm going to use distraction because I know that's one of the issues that I want to talk about. But in terms of struggling in our prayer life, in terms of the problems that we face, I'm curious, one, tell us about your new book. I want to know about that because you're going to get into a lot of this. But is there a struggle that seems to dominate most of our prayer lives?
Distraction basically takes two forms, and everything I'm telling you is from the saints and the spiritual masters. It's nothing I made up, and so everything I'm telling you I've learned, and I'm grateful that for the people that have taught me, the teachers and the saints. But distraction basically takes the form of either voluntary or involuntary distractions. So the ones probably that we're most aware of are the voluntary ones. That's to say, the distractions that we let ourselves get into because we're praying in a place where there's too much going on. So we're not doing, as Jesus says, going in our room and closing the door. Maybe we're leaving the cell phone and we're letting the texts happen while we're trying to actually have this communication, this dialogue with God. So there are any number of those things. And so the saints tell us, yes, so if those are the distractions that are preventing us from being able to pray and to pray in a concentrated way and in a dedicated way and in a deep way, it's our responsibility to uproot those and to enter into a place of silence and stillness where our whole focus can be on the divine. But then there are other distractions, and they are the involuntary ones. So even when we've made the best kind of preparation and commitment in terms of our prayer, we're bombarded by, for example, memories from the past, an awareness of our past faults, or we're just overwhelmed with a sense of, I have so many different things I have to do. It can take many, many forms, but we're not provoking them. They're just happening. So the saints tell us, well, we're not really responsible for those. And one of the worst things that we can do is to try to fight them dead on. So I'm being distracted. This is terrible. Therefore, I have to really fight against this distraction. Well, that's what the evil one wants us to do, because it leads to further distraction. And so some of the great spiritual masters say, no, we are aware of the distraction. We simply take our focus off of that, put it back on Jesus. And even if these distractions keep pummeling us in our prayer, it doesn't matter, because we are intent on staying in the arms of Jesus Christ. And even somebody like the great doctor of the church, Francis de Sales, says, in a way, we shouldn't even pray to be freed from our distractions, because they actually purify the prayer and make it even, I don't know, richer in terms of, because of the kind of the spiritual skirmish that we have to go through in order to keep this dialogue with God going.
Father Peter Cameron, our spiritual director, talking about our prayer life and struggles in our prayer life. If you'd like to join us, a little bit of time left in the program. Toll-free phone number 888-914-9149, sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. Father Peter, tell us about the book. What made you decide you wanted to write this?
So I was actually asked by a publisher about submitting some ideas for books that would have to do with helping people with their spiritual lives. And so the idea of a book that would address some of the obstacles and the snags that people encounter in praying, and with this special attention to some of the struggles that young people encounter, that became that rose up as sort of something that would be important at this point in time. So it's the book is still at the stage of the proposal level, but I'm hoping to hear within a couple of weeks whether or not we're going to go forward with it. I'm going to write it one way or the other, and have been spending the summer doing a lot of research, and it's been a great experience to do it.
Well, you shared an overview with us, and I would just say to you, keep writing. Okay. Well, the insights are just really, really great. I mean, we talk about struggles and prayers, and you talk about that we struggle with expectations.
Yeah.
Talk about that, if you would. What's that about?
So one of the most beautiful things about God is the way that he makes the heart yearn and be built for something that it can't give itself. So, and this is why this is so much that undergirds the whole liturgical season of Advent, which I can't believe is going to start in just a few weeks. But this whole notion that to be is to be awaiting something, and it's to be in an expectation of a happiness, of a fulfillment, of a prosperity, because to live without living for a purpose or for a meaning is really the definition of suffering, of misery for people. Viktor Frankl, you know, the great psychologist who survived the Holocaust and Nazi concentration camps, said that the only ones that, in his experience, who were able to endure and to survive the suffering of the camp were those who were able to find meaning in their suffering. So this expectation that has been placed in us is such an awesome thing, because it keeps us from settling for things that can't make us happy, and to reach out for God. So in the book, I think the models for this, sort of the patron saints of human expectation, are the Magi, who, these men who probably had everything that life has to offer. They had money, and they had prestige, and they had popularity, and they had power, but still they were looking, they were searching the heavens, because that's the, for them, that was the only place without limit to look. They were searching the heavens for this something more, with capital letters. And then they went in search of it. As Pope Benedict XVI says, it was as if they were always looking for that star. Mm-hmm. And every human being is like the Magi in that way, that we're always looking for this something more. And the gift of Jesus Christ is the certainty that that search is worth the effort.
Father Peter Cameron, our spiritual director, talking about our prayer life and a new book, One Way or Another, we are praying that it ends up in the marketplace. And the overview that you sent for us to look at before the program today, very, very taken with two men whom I have a great devotion to. Father Alfred Delp, a Jesuit priest who died, was hanged in Nazi Germany in, actually, I remember the date, February 2nd of 1945. And the other one was Jesuit priest Father Jean-Pierre de Caussade. I love him.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He's a... So really, the great saints, we know this, the great saints give us such great lessons on how to live our lives of prayer, don't they?
They really do. I mean, and these two men were very, you know, different eras, but and completely different sort of experience, life experience, but my goodness, the heroism, and also just the complete conviction with which they lived their faith. Jean-Pierre de Caussade was a spiritual director to sisters, and actually that beautiful book, Abandonment to Divine Providence, was not a book that he wrote. It was compiled, I think, almost 100 years after he left. It was after he died. It was some years after he died, and so his followers just took his letters and his conferences, et cetera, and knitted them together into this incredibly powerful classic. I mean, I think of all the books on Catholic spirituality that exist, it would certainly be in the top 10. But the message is so very simple, which is a proof of just how true and authentic it is, which is, in every moment, God gives us absolutely everything that we need in order to be holy and to be the saints that we're destined to be. And so the great challenge to the believer is to accept that and to receive that grace, to be obedient to it, to live the moment as truly and as with as much self-donation as we can, in the hope that we can get to the next moment, and then God will give us all the graces that we need for that, until it turns into a life of holiness.
Well, and one of my favorite quotes from Abandonment to Divine Providence, and it's a long one, but the essence of it is, we must stay immovable in the hands of the sculptor, because the sculptor knows exactly what he's doing.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the holiness of Father Alfred Delp just so outstanding, because it's hard to imagine how he could remain immovable and so convicted about his faith before these the Nazi treachery and hatred and the horrible violence and the persecution and the torture that so many people were undergoing. And when others were not as strong in living out their faith for whatever reason. And in fact, it seems that some of his most brilliant writings were the fruit of what he was enduring, of the suffering that he was going through. But for me, I mean, all of his writings are beautiful, but he is my go-to guy during Advent. I mean, I've read that his Advent reflections many, many times, but I cannot get enough of them. And especially it's overwhelming to realize that they were written by somebody who knew that at any moment he was going to be killed because he refused to to cave in to this terrible tyranny that was robbing the lives of millions of people.
Let me ask you, we just have a few minutes left in the hour with Father Peter Cameron, if you're just joining us, but talk a little bit more about Father Delp, if you would. I am so taken with his candles, his candle homily, and essentially everyone that he points to a candle and says, that's how we're to live our life. We are to burn, we are to be a light, knowing that in the end, the light is going to go out. We're called to be that light to the world to the very end. And I'm so taken with that image, Father Peter.
Father Delp, well, I love Father Delp because I discovered that we both have the same birthday. I mean, we were born obviously different years, but the same day. But and he was a young man when he was executed by the Nazis. So there was something that he discovered in the faith that he knew was absolutely essential, especially for a moment when the world was being ripped apart by so many lies and so much hatred and just so much really demonic division. And so for him, the season of Advent, as I was mentioning, was so critical because it meant that all of this darkness and all of this insanity was going to lose its power through the gift of a presence. And I think the light of the candle is so powerful for him because it is such a potent symbol of that presence. That once we're before this presence, we're sort of immersed in this presence. It's difficult to be opposed to the truth, and it's so many of the lies and so much of the compromise that otherwise people just succumb to, it falls away. I would love to have heard the witness of the people that had to take care of Father Delp in prison, because I'm sure, like the great Maximilian Kolbe, that they were mesmerized by the serenity with which he lived his life. And that's not something that can be learned from a book or developed through a therapy or any kind of, you know, a philosophy, et cetera. It's because Christ was present to him, and in the midst of all of that insanity and that horror, and it's the beauty that changed, that saves the world.
Yeah. Father Peter Cameron is our spiritual director. We have to wrap things up. Father Peter, we had an abbreviated program today because of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. Next time you come on, we're going to continue talking about our struggles in our prayer life. But we do have to wrap things up. And Father, we like to close with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
May Almighty God bless you and keep you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Peter Cameron, a pleasure to have you on the program. We hope you will say yes when we invite you back again to be one of our spiritual directors here on The Inner Life. Thanks to Father Peter. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We always appreciate when you take a bit of time in your day to be part of our listening audience here on The Inner Life. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass in about 2 minutes. And then don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. We are back again tomorrow. Make this a great day, and we hope to see you tomorrow.
Day 16, Mother of our Creator, pray for us. In the 24th chapter of the book of Sirach, we read, "He who created me has deigned to dwell in my womb." We all know that Mary is the mother of Jesus and that Jesus is God, so Mary is properly called the Mother of God. But if God is a Trinity, and the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier, how can we call Mary the Mother of our Creator? Wouldn't that be like calling her Mother of the Father? Not exactly, but you have to know a little bit about the theology of the Trinity to understand this. And that is, the Trinity is one, and the actions of one are the actions of all. This is certainly a mystery, but nonetheless true. It's good to have connections in high places, and what better connection can you have than with the Mother of our Creator? Mother of our Creator, pray for the Church and our nation.